I'd like to call the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting to order. I'd let the record reflect that it's Tuesday, January 20th. The time now is 3:30 p.m. Present today are Senator Bjorkman, Vice Chair, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Tilton, myself, Chair Kawasaki. We do have a quorum to conduct business. We'd like to thank Carrie Tupoa from Senate Records. Thanks for being here again. And Zachary Longhorn, a moderator with the Legislative Information Office. Thank you. Also wanted to say thanks to Joe Hayes, the staff to the Senate State Affairs Committee. Today we have a hearing. We're the first hearing of the day. We have Senate Joint Resolution 2. It's a constitutional amendment on votes necessary for a veto override. We have a second hearing scheduled on Senate Joint Resolution 13, appointment of state judges. So there's no business before the committee yet. We will first bring up Senate Joint Resolution 2, constitutional amendment. It is by Senator Matt Clayman. And if Senator Clayman and his staff, Carly Dennis, would like to come up to present the bill to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Matt Clayman, State Senator for Senate District H in West Anchorage. First, I'd like to thank you for hearing Senate Joint Resolution 2. Senate Joint Resolution 2 makes an important change to our state constitution to improve the public's ability to influence executive and legislative decisions on revenue and appropriations matters. It would amend Article 2, Section 16 of our Constitution to lower the override requirements for revenue and appropriations vetoes from 3/4 of the legislature sitting in joint session, or 45 votes, to 2/3, or 40 votes. Alaska has the highest requirements for overriding a veto of a revenue or appropriations matter of any state. Only one other state, Arizona, comes close. Arizona has a high override standard of 3/4, but only for vetoed revenue bills, not for appropriations matters. The other 48 states have lower override requirements for revenue and appropriation bills. Most states require a 2/3 vote from both legislative chambers to override a gubernatorial veto. Seven states require a 3/5 vote, and 6 states only require a simple majority to override a veto. Few states differentiate between vetoed revenue and appropriations items and typical policy bills. The 3/4 requirement makes it extremely difficult for the legislature to override a revenue or appropriations veto. In the past 2 decades, the legislature has twice overrode an appropriations veto. And many legislators are familiar with the public's frustration over the protracted efforts to override the governor's vetoes of public education funding. This summer, Data for Progress conducted a poll of Alaskans that showed strong support for this amendment to our Constitution. The 3/4 requirement also creates a difficult double standard for revenue and appropriations legislation to pass the governor. A typical policy bill, although it might contain a fiscal note, requires a 2/3 vote to override if it receives a governor's veto. If that override vote succeeds, the governor may then use his line item veto to remove the funding for the bill from the budget. That line item veto then requires a 3/4 vote to pass or to override the veto. We saw this dynamic unfold when the governor vetoed House Bill 57 last May. The legislature override that veto. Then the governor vetoed the funding for HB 57, education funding, from the budget. Lowering the revenue and appropriations requirement to 2/3 will align the requirements for all vetoed legislation and eliminate this loophole. In crafting our Constitution, Alaska's framers established a strong governor form of government. This structure is evident when looking at the 3/4 legislative vote requirement to override fiscal legislation. When Alaska was a young state, the idea of a strong governor made sense. Today, we are no longer a young state, although we might like to think we are. Our economy has grown and public participation in the political process has increased. This amendment returns more power to all Alaskans and their elected representatives and senators. If 2/3 of the House and Senate each approve, SJR 2 will appear on the general election ballot for voters in November. It is not subject to a governor's veto. And if you wish, my staff, Carly Dennis, is available for a sectional analysis.
Great. Are there any initial questions for the sponsor of the bill? Hearing and seeing none, thank you, Senator Klayman. If Ms. Dennis would like to just read through the sectional, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, thank you. For the record, this is Carly Dennis, staff to Senator Klayman. Section 1 deletes the three-quarters vote requirement for override vetoes for revenue and appropriations bills or items and changes the requirement to a two-thirds vote. And Section 2 would put the amendment proposed by this resolution on the ballot in the next general election for Alaska voters to consider. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dennis. Are there any questions? I guess I have a question. If this resolution were to pass this year, both chambers, when under which election will it be held on?
November 2026.
So that would be the November election for general election. Okay. Any other questions for either Ms. Dennis or sponsor Senator Klayman? Hearing and seeing none. Thank you for being here to present the bill. We do have somebody who is invited testimony. We also will open up public testimony. First, if we will go ahead and hear from the invited testimony, we have Laura Capelli. Laura has been a public educator in Fairbanks since 2004, working as a reading tutor, special education aide, and an ELL tutor/instructor. She last worked as an ELL program records manager, supporting the ELL staffs, school, and families. Laura has served on the NEA Alaska Board of Directors, the ESSA Executive Board, and the FEA Bargaining Team, and the NEA Alaska Human and Civil Rights Committee, and has previously served two terms as NEA Alaska's Vice President. Laura is serving in her first term as the NEA Alaska President, working to continually expand and strengthen the network of communication and support for public education and educators in Alaska. I'd like to invite you and welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Well, thank you, Chair Kawasaki. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to the members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. My name is Laura Capelle, and I am president of NEA Alaska. I represent over 8,000 public school educators across our great state. I'm here to testify today in support of SJR2. I'm going to talk a little bit about how this impacts public education in Alaska. I'm also just going to talk a little bit about, you know, our members' feelings about just sort of the constitutionality of this and this kind of a budgetary veto override threshold in the context of our general democracy. Having a lot of social studies teachers involved, I've got great information. Any Alaska members support the current effort to bring the gubernatorial budget veto override threshold to that of two-thirds of the legislature rather than the three-quarters vote threshold that has been in place since statehood. The three-quarters vote for a budget veto override is an unreasonably high threshold. It diminishes the power of our representative democracy, placing a greater, undue, and sometimes untenable burden on legislators to represent the will of their constituents. The direct impact to public education of this veto override provision create great instability within our public education system as school boards, school district administrations, families, and educators are caught in the quagmire of uncertainty in education funding essential to supporting students in their communities. For years, Alaska's educators, parents, and students have been caught in this cycle of budgetary whiplash. We have watched as a broad, bipartisan majority of the legislature listens to the needs of their constituents, negotiates in good faith, and passes a budget that reflects Alaska's priorities, only to see those priorities inexplicably dismantled by a single gubernatorial pen after the legislators have left the Capitol at the conclusion of the legislative session and are at home with their constituents. Gubernatorial vetoes of education funding for our constitutionally mandated public school system don't just cut a number on a page. They have real and measurable negative impacts across our state. They dramatically disrupt school districts' planning and put families in a state of turmoil, not knowing if the public schools in their communities will be able to support their students' learning. In June 2025, we witnessed an unprecedented line item veto to cut the base student allocation in statutory formula. No governor in the history of Alaska had ever targeted the base student allocation in this way. It demonstrated that the reliable core of school funding on which our communities depend could be subject to the whims of the executive branch, clearly obstructing the will of the legislature. Because of our current constitutional override requirement, it took an extraordinary, nearly impossible effort to correct that mistake. Our legislators rejoined with exactly 45 votes. If even one legislator had been weathered out of Juneau, had a family emergency, or had even been able to attend because of an honorable military deployment, our public schools would have suffered, facing a $51 million shortfall crisis. Clearly, this Rager Finn override margin does not allow for the assured representation of the will of the majority of Alaskans. It is easier for the U.S. Congress to propose an amendment to the United States Constitution than it is for the Alaska State Legislature to override a gubernatorial budget veto. The framers of the U.S. Constitution saw any veto requiring an override vote of over two-thirds of the legislature as leading to undemocratic, unbalanced executive power. And now we can see why. Our balance of power in Alaska needs to support co-equal branches of government without tipping the scales in favor of the executive branch, enabling one official to extract lawful funding from Alaska communities. SJR 2 is a much-needed opportunity for correction. It aligns the override requirement for budget vetoes with the two-thirds standard used for every other piece of legislation in this state. It ensures that when 40 out of 60 Alaskans, through their elected representatives, say public education is our value and our priority, their voices carry strength. For the stability of instruction in our classrooms and our communities, the ability of our school boards to meet student needs, and the retention and recruitment of educators who leave this state unsure if they will have a position next year due to summertime vetoes, we need to create more safeguards to the process of funding education and all other budget funding that preserves and enhances the quality of life in Alaska, protecting them from questionable gubernatorial budget vetoes. I urge you to advance SJR2 to the next committee and give Alaskans the opportunity to vote for a more balanced, accountable, and stable government in 2026. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Capel. Are there any questions? Actually, I do have a question since I've got you online. The veto ended up being way later in August, and the 45-person threshold is pretty high. I'm curious, how did school boards try to decide what to do since their budget cycle is normally way back in, they try to close out in March or April?
It depended on the school board, really. So it really, the impacts, it widely varied according to school districts. Some districts sort of hedged their bets that, first they just start by guessing whether or not the governor was going to veto this budget allocation because it's been kind of a pattern. And so sometimes they just eliminated positions and, employees were given like pink slips. And so they really felt like they needed to move on instead of taking a chance of getting an open position in Alaska if we happened to have the funding for it. That was sort of the variable that school boards, I think, were forced to look at. It's just like sort of guessing whether or not there was going to be a veto, how much it was going to be, and then if it would be able to be overridden. So, does that answer your question?
It sure does. Thank you very much, Ms. Capel. Are there any other questions for the invited testimony? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, we will go ahead. We now will open this up to public testimony. If there is anybody here in the room or anybody in the room who'd like to testify on Senate Joint Resolution 2, we do have one person on. Is there anybody who'd like to speak to Senate Joint Resolution 2 regarding the constitutional amendment for the veto override? Welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Kawasaki, and as always, committee taking time for public testimony. My name is Caroline Storm, Today I am speaking as a private citizen of Alaska, and my testimony is just that I support this resolution, that I think due to the fact that we have the highest threshold, it is time to re-examine that. I would just like to offer that I do teach civics for potential new citizens, and I always tell my adult students, that we have one of the strongest constitutions in the nation, our state constitution, but in this case, we've sort of limited our ability to be as representational as we need to be. So I support the resolution, and thank you for taking testimony.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Storm. Are there any questions? Okay, hearing and seeing none, is there anybody else in the room who'd like to testify on Senate Joint Resolution number 2? Okay, and is there anybody online who'd like to testify? There is a person online from Anchorage. We have Ms. Obermeyer. If you'd like to state your name and your affiliation for the record, and try and keep it under 3 minutes.
Am I speaking? Is this Senator Kawasaki?
Yes, it is. Welcome to the committee.
I can't get you visually, so I will just say I sent 2 letters. I understand you've tabled SJR 13. So I have a letter about that one, and I also have a letter about SJR 2. Did you get my 2 letters?
Ms. Obermeyer, I think we did get your letters, but we are not, when we open up, Senate Joint Resolution 13, if there's no sponsor here, will not be heard today, but Senate Joint Resolution 2 is being heard right now, and you're welcome to testify if you like.
Yes, sir, but did you get my written statement? I just wanted to understand. Were you able to get that?
We did get affirmation that the committee did receive it.
Oh, good. Okay, now, this is the first day of the legislature, so it's not perfect, but I did want to write out issues. And would you always forgive me, Senator Kawasaki? This is so unseemly what could have been possible, and I'm very apologetic about the truth. Would you forgive me for that? I wrote, Dear Alaska State Affairs, State Senate Affairs Committee, I support SJR 2, but certainly not because Senator Matt Clayman introduced it. Matt, is this a part of your gubernatorial campaign? What I wrote, and I'm just reading from what I wrote. I apologize that I must be very critical of Mr. Clayman. I'm going to label Mr. Clayman as a wolf in sheep's clothes. I am married to Thomas S. Obermeyer, Missouri attorney since 1990, but still not licensed
Ms.
to practice in Alaska.
Do you have testimony for Senate Joint Resolution 2 at this time?
Yes, I do. It's regarding the fact, I just summarized very briefly, Scott, and that is Mr. Clayman has been in the legislature for 11 years. And today, he did introduce this, I think in February of 2025. But my rhetorical question, is this part of Matt's gubernatorial campaign? You see, sir, he has been in the legislature for all these years, and there have been so many opportunities for Mr. Clayman to do something fair and reasonable, and he never has. Does he think he's going to get elected governor of introducing
Ms.
something
Obermeyer,
that he should have introduced 11 years ago?
Scott,
are you stopping me?
I don't want to pound the gavel down, but I do want to try to, if you could direct your comments about the content in Senate Joint Resolution 2, that would be great. That's what we'd like to hear today.
Yes, my point, of course I support it. Of course I would support this. And that's what I wrote. I wrote re-support of SJR 2. That was the title of what I wrote that I hope you see, sir. I have been on the Anchorage School Board. I know document swamping, and I know that you can't possibly learn and know all of this. So that's why I also know the power of the printed words. That's why I wrote out what I wanted to say, and I didn't want to be overly passionate Sir, I apologize. I'm overly passionate. I come from a family of attorneys, and I'm a judge's daughter. And I could never in a million years have imagined the way both my husband and I have been treated in this state. I do hope that all of you will check my Facebook group, and that is Elect Alaska Attorney General 2026. I am really trying to ask that the truth finally surface. And so would you forgive me? I'm trying to make an example out of myself. I am highly educated. I don't want to be, sir, I'm a refined person that went to all girls' school. I started, Scott, by saying this is all so unseemly. And I'm very apologetic about that. I don't want to be mean-spirited to anybody. And I really haven't been. It's taken me 48 years to say this and nothing. Do you want me to say anything else?
No, I think we've got your 3 minutes of testimony, and we appreciate your time, Ms. Obermeyer. And we're going to move on to Homer now. We have Teresa Lewandowski. If you could state your name and your affiliation for the record. Welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee.
Thank you. My name is Teresa Lewandowski, and I'm calling from Homer, and I'm calling in support of SJR 2. This should be put to the voters to let the voters decide, of course, because it's a constitutional amendment. But I just want to point out that I've heard it from my friends. I feel the same way. I've even heard it from legislators. There's too much executive power. If it takes more than two-thirds, if it takes three-quarters to override budget vetoes, that just doesn't seem right, especially in some of the situations that we've witnessed this past year. So I just applaud. I don't care who is introducing this, whose bill it is. I've heard it from others, but thank you, and I support it.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Lewandowski. Are there anybody else online, anybody else in the room who'd like to testify to Senate Joint Resolution 2? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we'll go ahead and close public testimony. I'd offer the floor to the sponsor of the bill if you'd like to have any questions or comments you'd like to bring up or any questions for the sponsor. Any final statements before we set the bill aside?
We're hearing it again later this week, so.
Okay. Yes, we will try to hear it on Thursday. But if there's no further questions, then we'll go ahead and set Senate Joint Resolution 2 aside. Thank you for your Thank you for presenting the bill. And we will take a brief at ease. Okay, we will we'll bring back the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting to order. Originally, we had put on the calendar to hear Senate Joint Resolution 13. It is a bill, rules by request of the governor. Is there anybody here on behalf of the governor's office? If there's nobody here from the governor's office representing Senate Joint Resolution 13, we will set it aside.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Wilikowski.
Just to clarify, what was the governor's office notified that this bill would be scheduled for a hearing today?
Yes, Senator Wilikowski, we did ask the governor if he would like the bill heard. We, of course, recently had a meeting with the governor about making sure that his bills are heard and that we've got this sort of relationship built in place, that we act on bills. That is exactly what this committee wants to do, is hear bills either from any sponsor of any bill. They need to submit it in writing, and we will hear the bill, and we'll take it up about whether it's good or not. He was given several weeks. Maybe it wasn't long enough to make sure that the Attorney General was able to attend the bill hearing today, but we will try to work it out with the
Well, just to clarify, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Senator Wilikowski.
The governor was notified. This was a publicly noticed meeting. He was notified. His office was notified several weeks ago that he would be heard on the first day, and they've refused to attend. Is that correct?
Well, that is what it appears. Okay. Again, we want to make sure. Thank you, Senator Wilikowski, for pointing that out. We do want to make sure that we hear all bills that are sent to this committee in regular order. So that we as a committee can take proper action and move bills forward. So again, we will do that. We will meet Tuesdays, Thursdays, and even Saturdays are on the calendar currently. And we will have those hearings. We'll have them every day of the week and as long as we need to make sure that we dispatch the work of the legislature and the Senate.
Mr. Chairman, I do just want to point out that if you schedule a hearing and you're told weeks in advance and you refuse to attend, just for the public out there and anybody that might have another bill, there's probably a high likelihood your bill's not going to get heard again. That would be my suggestion, just as a member of the committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, thank you. I guess that goes for every person who brings a bill or who has a bill that's in committee. If you could please submit a hearing request to Joe Hayes or the Senate State Affairs Committee directly, we will try and make sure that we've got all of these bills heard and discussed in the open, and we appreciate doing that kind of work. So this will conclude the meeting for today. Our next official meeting is scheduled for Thursday, January 22nd. We will hear, under bills previously heard, Senate Joint Resolution 2, and look for action at that point. And we will also hear bills previously heard or scheduled. If there's no other business to come before the committee, Senate State Affairs is adjourned at 3:59 p.m.